All right, thank you for that. Rick Tittle with you, nationally syndicated out of San Francisco and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. We are getting ready for two epic soccer summers here in North America. First of all, beginning June 14th and going to July 13th, we will have the first ever FIFA Club World Cup, 32 teams, 12 venues. And then, of course, next summer, we will have the biggie. We will have the expanded FIFA World Cup. And I should remind everybody, too, that Sunday is World Football Day. And to join us to talk about all of that is the FIFA Media Director, Brian Swanson. Brian, welcome to the show. First of all, I watched you for years on telly, as you guys say, and I didn't know you got this job. What a great gig you have, man. Congratulations.
Thanks, Rick. It's a privilege. It's an honor. Yeah, I was in TV back in the UK for 18 years and then took the move over to Switzerland, where I've been 4 years now at FIFA, and I'm loving every minute.
Yeah, that's outstanding. And first of all, I don't know if you can help me. I'm a lifelong Spurs fan, and I'm just dying a thousand deaths without Kulusevski and Madison and Bergvall. I just feel like Bruno's going to take over today. Would you give me some sort of maybe? I know Man United, we've beaten them three times this year, but can you give me some kind of hope, please?
I think with football, and I'm going to call it football, Rick. I'm not taking soccer, sorry. I know you'll say soccer. I'm going to call it football. The great thing at this job in FIFA is I can be neutral now on everything. And I've got friends of mine who are messaging ahead of this game tonight, all saying the same thing from both sides. I think when it comes to a final, anything can happen. So stay strong. You never know.
All right. I will stay strong. First of all, let's talk about World Football Day. What is going on Sunday, and how are you guys celebrating it?
Well, you know, it's a really important thing for us, because ultimately, what is FIFA and what is football? Football is fun, right? And I think it's great for us to recognize this in what is, you know, we've got World Football Week at the moment, and it's fantastic, ultimately culminating on that extension with the United Nations, with UN World Football Day. And it's just a great opportunity for us to really mark the football community, for us to get everyone together to enjoy the sport that we know and love, and really highlight the strength. Because for us, we often say at football, that football unites. We know it's not always easy in the world, is it, Rick? And football has this unique capability of bringing everyone together. You know, here we are on the 21st of May, the day in which FIFA was founded back in 1904. And really this week extends up until the 25th of May, which is the day ultimately that we're celebrating the most with the United Nations. And it's just great for us to celebrate and to just mark this moment in time where we all come together. And it's a special opportunity for our communities around the place to just take a step back, unite people of all backgrounds through the power of football, and just enjoy this moment. Why not?
So, Brian, as a Scot, and you're supposed to be impartial now, but can you support the Tartan Army? Are you jam tarts? Are you Hibs? Like, can you wear the kit?
I don't mind saying that I'm a Hearts fan, coming from Edinburgh, Rick, and I'm a passionate Scotland fan. I would say I'd love to go to a World Cup. It's been a while. 1998 was the last time I was able to watch Scotland in a World Cup. So you never know, with the expanded 48-team World Cup that we've got coming up next summer, I will always have my fingers crossed. But, yep, I've got the kit, I've got the kilt, and wherever I can, it's difficult in the job with the travel that I do, but I do try and join my friends in the Tartan Army whenever I can.
Some of the great football fans in the world are the Scots. You mentioned the 98 World Cup, the 94 World Cup. I had the pleasure, maybe the funnest fortnight of my life. I worked as a volunteer at the media center here for the San Francisco venue at Stanford Stadium. I went to all the games, but because I was working in television at the time, I got to meet Rivellino and David Pleat and Hans Palma. I got to meet João Havelange, the president of FIFA. I mean, it was one of the most amazing experiences. And so for people thinking about volunteering, I would say it's almost life-changingly fun if you are a soccer fan. How about the volunteers that you guys are taking for the Club World Cup and the next World Cup here?
Yeah, And you know, Rick, that's great to hear, because the volunteers, I love one of the great parts of this job and seeing so many football events and tournaments is just chatting to volunteers. We've got a Club World Cup volunteer program that's going to give the opportunity for 9,000 volunteers across the entire tournament this summer in every host city. We've got 11 host cities for this summer's tournament. FIFA.com/volunteer. That's the best way to get the information to see if you want to go for it. And I would say go for it, because I think it is a unique experience. Whatever you're doing, you're all contributing to part of the football community. And I think without our volunteers, we don't have major tournaments and events. So everyone is equal. Everyone is the same. And you just get such great stories, don't you, Rick? When you're walking to the matches, when you're speaking to people, and of course, world competitions. That's the thing I love the most about working at FIFA, is that you work with so many different nationalities and it all comes together for this global tournament, whether it's the Club World Cup this summer or the World Cup next summer. So I would say to those volunteers out there, I would really make that plea, get on the website, have a look, see if it's for you. I hope it's for you. We hope it's for you. And we hope to see you in the States this summer or the States next summer, Canada and Mexico too.
Just remind me of the scuttlebutt when I was working there in 94, and people knew I was a Tottenham fan, and it was all about the owner at that time, Irving Scholar, and they had a 12-point deduction, and that got appealed down to 6, but then Lord Sugar came in, he bought Klinsmann and Dimitrescu and Gica Popescu and the rest. But it just shows every year the drama, the international flavor. Yeah. There's just nothing like it.
Well, I often reflect back, Rick, on the World Cup in 2022 in Qatar. And the great thing with global competitions is that you can expect the unexpected. You can see Saudi Arabia beating Argentina. And we all know what happened there and what they went on to do. And that's the great thing about bringing, whether it's a club competition with some fantastic teams in their own right, or to national competitions such as the World Cup. You know that when you sit down and watch that football-soccer match, that you don't always predict. It's difficult to predict sometimes. And at big competitions, big moments, lots of fans, expect the unexpected.
By the way, I heard when they switched from the Jules Rimet to the World Cup we have now, that FIFA, there was a rumor that they were maybe going to retire that trophy and work on a new one. Do you have any news on that, or was that just scuttlebutt?
No, I hadn't heard anything on that. No, I mean, we've got the iconic trophy for the World Cup and the iconic trophy for the Club World Cup. So I don't see that changing, no.
Let's talk about that trophy for the Club World Cup, because I just looked at it. It's kind of a Bundesliga-style plate. It's very sharp.
It's extremely sharp, and it was created with the help of Tiffany. And you've really got to see it to believe it. It's big. It's impressive. It's unique. And I love the design, because it summarizes exactly what this competition is all about, which is global, right? And it's looking at all the different parts coming together. You unlock it with a key, and we just hope that key never goes missing anywhere, because you really see it come to life when it's unlocked. And wow. Yeah, I can't wait. Fascinated to see who picks it up when they play at the MetLife for the final in the middle of July.
And this is, I think, what people need to get used to and get acclimated, because this is the first ever time we have seen. I mean, I've seen Tottenham come to the United States a few times and play the Andros Townsends and Ryan Masons of the world. This is a competition where you're not just having guys taking the summer off. We're going to get Haaland and Messi and Mbappe. We're going to get the best of the best, aren't we?
Massively. And that's the big selling point in this tournament. You're going to see the best players competing for a huge prize. The competitive pool fund is ultimately $1 billion, between 100 and 125 million US for the winners, over 7 games. So 7 games every 4 years involving 2 teams. That's the highest number of games there will be. They will be super competitive. The players want to win this. The clubs want to win this. The fans want to win this. And ultimately this summer, it's the chance for one to say that they were the world champion, the world club champion. That's a unique selling point for them. It's great bragging rights, okay? You know, we can all see what people do at a World Cup with their country. This is a chance to do it with their team.
Just one more on a broadcasting note. I remember at the 94 World Cup, they made the media hub in Dallas. They thought that was most centrally located. Are you guys going to do Dallas again, or what do you guys got planned for that?
For 26 in terms of the International Broadcast Center, and then 25s out of the stadiums. And actually, it's a good opportunity, Rick, for me to showcase the team. The team here in Switzerland, the team in our offices in Miami, you know, they really go the extra mile to try and make this a really enjoyable experience. In the last 4 years at FIFA, it constantly amazes me at the attention to detail. You can imagine the inquiries that we get day in, day out, the editorial questions, but then the operational questions. We need to make sure that the Wi-Fi is working. We need to make sure that people who are covering these competitions can do it in the best possible way to service their customers, their viewers. And it's all systems go. Two World Cups in a year, there's never a dull moment.
By the way, I saw Messi in person again a couple of weeks ago down here in San Jose when they're playing the Earthquakes, and it was just a crush of humanity. This is, I would say, get your tickets now, right?
I would absolutely get your tickets, because we know that when you've got the best playing the best, that's with only, what, just over 3 weeks to go, 24 days to go before this Club World Cup kicks off in Miami at the Hard Rock Stadium. We've got Al Ahly, obviously the African champions, against Lionel Messi and Inter Miami. Absolutely, get online, get the tickets, fifa.com/tickets, because you don't want to miss the moment that you're going to be part of history here. 63 matches this summer. The top teams around the world, and there's some great matchups, right? And ultimately, all roads will lead to the MetLife Stadium. The semi-finals and the final are taking place there, ultimately on the 13th of July. That's when the final is. So, yeah, you don't want to miss out.
We've been speaking with Brian Swanson, a fantastic reporter in his time. I watched him many years. He's now the FIFA Media Director, and World Football Day is this Sunday. The Club World Cup coming up June 14th, running for a month here in the United States, 32 teams, 12 venues, and of course the FIFA World Cup next summer. And Brian, I have been openly campaigning for an elusive press credential to the World Cup next summer. So remember the name Rick Tittle, and I'll say I'm good friends with Brian Swanson. How about that?
You're too kind, Rick. I'm sure we can sort you out. Don't worry. Thank you.